WPHT.
WPHT HD. WOGL HD3. Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Now, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter,
it's the Scoreboard Show.
The Friday Night High School Football Scoreboard Show with Jeff Nolan and Kevin Cooney.
Well, it's week number four of the high school football season, and familiarity will set in because for most of these teams, it begins league play. So we're going to keep the show familiar to you, our listening audience here in the High School Football Scoreboard Show. Heard on 1210 WPHT on the Odyssey app as well. I'm Jeff Nolan. Kevin Cooney sits here with me along with Brian Hensel, former CB West head coach. And we are here till midnight, action-packed show, no less than three head coaches. We've got four or five reports coming in. And at least the way the day was set up today, Kevin, weather-wise, almost a perfect night for football.
Yeah, perfect night for football, and especially with the start of league play. This is when it usually gets a little tricky because you usually have winds or rain or something. Tonight was beautiful. And I think what's surprising to me, Jeff, is when we look at the results and we go over them, is the amount of surprises that really took place. Not just that games tilted one way or another, but the closeness of some others that we didn't expect.
Sure. It's, Brian, not necessarily upsets, but like Kevin said, the competitiveness maybe.
Yeah, and that's why they're playing these games each week. You know, like Kevin said, a beautiful night for football in southeastern Pennsylvania, and there's a lot of good scores that came in. We're going to get a chance to see a lot of them over the course of the next 2 hours.
I'll let our audience know. We're going to hear from head coaches from Pope John Paul, from GW, or we're going to talk to head coaches from Garnet Valley, trying to get a hold of Archbishop Wood. And game reports, we're going to hear about the Upper Marion O&J Roberts game. Also, Ruston and Kennett. We'll get a report on Penridge and Abington and Springfield, Montcalm, Strathaven. Kevin, I think we've hit quite a few leagues right there.
Yeah, we have. And it's one of them nights where it's spread around. It's pretty. There's a lot of things going on. Each league has one or two games that really stand out.
And our poll question, we'll get to that in just a little bit. But, well, let's do that, Kev. Let's put that up first.
Yeah, the poll question, which is on my Twitter account, @KevinCooney, and you can find it through WPHT Scores, which is our Twitter account for the show. Which league do you think, as we start league play, which league do you think is the strongest? And we can actually go, we can go over this a little bit because there were five options, and Twitter gives you four spots. The Philadelphia Catholic League, the best in Southeastern PA. So the Philadelphia Catholic League's Red Division, which is St. Joe Prep, LaSalle, all that. The Chestmont National, which is Downingtown, Coatesville, the Downingtowns. The Central League, Ridley, Strathaven, or the Suburban One National. So you can vote at my Twitter feed @KevinCooney, and through WPHT Scores. We will have that later in the show with the final results.
Yes, so keep an eye on that. Boys, we do it this way every week. It's our first and 10 at 10, and it's the top 10 games in the area for the night as determined by Kevin, Brian, and myself. So let's go through that. And in no really particular order, but we start out with Central Bucks East, Central Bucks South. And Brian Hensel, I'll go to you because you've got a stake in this one, being a teacher in the district and a former coach in the district. Why is this a big game between these two teams in the Doylestown area?
Well, it's definitely neighborhood bragging rights. You got three high schools in Central Bucks in East, West, and South, and this is the first matchup of the two of the CB high schools, I should say.
Right.
And East is off to a very strong start. Both teams are coming into the game 3-0, and to figure out where things are going to be at, you know, in the bragging rights and who's going to be advancing in that Suburban One National Conference. This is definitely a one that's going to give the winner the upper edge.
Well, I want to give the win to Central Bucks East tonight as they improve on the road 21-7. They are 4-0 to start the season. CB South drops their first one to 3-1.
East cracked this week the honorable mention on the state rankings, and they were the only team in the Suburban One area that did. And I think that some people keep waiting for East to trip over themselves, and they haven't. So no. At some point, we're almost at the halfway point of the regular season. It's time to start taking them seriously as maybe a contender.
Kevin, I agree with you. And they got a tough contest coming up next week with Penridge. And I see CBEs as that team that's been grinding and grinding and right at the precipice of success and great success. And this could be that year that puts them over the top and they really go deep in the playoffs.
Well, let's look at another game here. And that is Spring Ford taking on Manheim Township. Second week in a row, Spring Ford goes into District 3. They beat Cumberland Valley last week. Not tonight. They lose to Manheim Township 17-14. And Kevin, Manheim coming off an emotional win over Harrisburg last week. This is a big road victory for them.
It is. And for Spring Ford, you know, it's 2-2, but it's not a bad 2-2. I you know, if you lose the Cumberland Valley and you lose to Manheim,
right.
It sets you up pretty well for what you'll see when you get into the PAC schedule, I think.
Right. The PAC Liberty's open, but Spring Ford is definitely going to be putting their fingerprints and stamp on who's going to be commanding that conference.
And Manheim is one of those teams we'll pay attention a lot to in November.
Yeah. And let me stand corrected there. They did lose to Cumberland Valley last week, 28-16.
So they're 2-2 now.
Right, 2-2. Okay, Arch, next game. Now we talk about the Catholic Red. You talked about that taking on Public League Independent. It's Archbishop Wood and Northeast. And Dave Armstrong didn't play the first 2 weeks, the Wood Vikings, right? But he plays tonight on the road, this afternoon on the road against Northeast. And Dave picks up his first win as head coach, 14-6 over Northeast. Kev, we didn't know what to expect going into this game.
Yeah, because Northeast has been viewed as maybe the best team in the public league, not named Imhotep. But I mean, you know, out of that 6A group. And Wood was one of those teams, Brian, and you and I heard the whispers all year. Boy, they're going to be in real trouble. Yeah, they lost a ton of kids. New coach comes in late. They've looked representative. They looked decent against Malvern last week in the loss, and now they beat Northeast on the road. I mean, these are two pretty good efforts by Dave Armstrong's crew.
Well, Kev, you said it right. They're representative. I mean, when you don't name a head coach at the high school football level until middle of June, that's a school that's just dragging their feet. And whoever takes that job over is going against a lot of the deck stacked against them. And, you know, Dave Armstrong, he's a well-known name in this program here. I mean, he's a former Mr. Pennsylvania football himself and has been with the Wood program for a while. And, you know, he's going to bring a level of respect to that program that it deserves. And, you know, remember in our preseason show, we said, hey, these guys are going to be in some trouble here. First 2 weeks of their games, they show a decent showing against Malvern last week in a loss. And as you said, taking on a strong Northeast team this year and winning 14-6.
Well, we keep our list here, our first and 10 at 10, game number 4. And Kevin, you and I talked about this prior too. It's Neshaminy North Penn. And this was a season decider for North Penn, having got punched in the face and given up 2 touchdowns in the final 85 seconds against Upper Dublin, losing last week. They've got a Neshaminy team coming off a loss. Well, North Penn wins in overtime 35-28. And just kind of describe to people why you think this is a season saver for the Knights.
Well, I mean, if you're 1-3 and you still have East up ahead, you know, South is no picnic. Pennsbury is a team that they've kind of dominated over the years, but Pennsbury's played better this year. It would have got tough. It would have got real tough. And also, one of those games you were counting on getting extra bonus points, which was LaSalle, and not getting anything right now. So, I mean, it would have been, not saying they would have missed the playoffs, but boy, their expectations would have totally changed. And you guys actually saw part of it. I'm interested to think what your reaction is having seen those teams tonight.
Yeah, taking it all the way to an overtime game here. These are two, for our audience that doesn't know this matchup, this is a really marquee matchup every year.
Has had some great over the years contest.
And
even in the district playoffs. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Even to the district title. I believe these two teams will see each other again somewhere in the playoffs.
Neshaminy's got a young quarterback. I will tell you that.
Ironically, you mentioned they play in the playoffs. They haven't had many good games in the playoffs. Like, it always
very
seems
lopsided.
Like, well, yeah, they always seems they're lopsided. The regular season games tend to be better.
Well, remember, there were some extenuating circumstances in the past, too. Just real quick, I got a tour of North Penn's new facility they put in last year, the new Crawford Stadium. Tina Stoll, school board president, gave me the tour. Did a really nice job in that stadium and a proud place for North Penn fans to go watch football.
They named the press box after you?
No.
Don't worry about it.
That was very great tour. They did a really nice job.
Thanks for the cookie, Suki.
Thanks for the cookie, Suki. Right. Hey, so let's go Malvern and Imhotep tonight. And Malvern makes another statement that they might be the best team in the area. 17-13 win over Imhotep. And Brian, we were trying to figure out when's the last time Imhotep has dropped back-to-back like games like this.
I can't remember in any recent memory where Imhotep has fallen 2 consecutive games. Now, let me qualify that statement by saying they're playing some very high-quality football teams.
Archbishop Spalding last week.
Right.
And they played Malvern. So it's not like they're losing the chopped liver here.
No, they're not. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with Coach Johnson and how he addresses his team and saying, hey, guys, what's our long-term goal? Because their long-term goal is to be playing for the state final. And two consecutive losses, he's got to rein that locker room in and kind of put the perspective there for them as they move on for the rest of their season.
Poor Frankfurt next week.
There was a consensus that this game should have been on TV somewhere. Malvern and Roman Catholic.
Yeah.
Malvern and Imhotep. Speaking of Roman Catholic, Kevin, they are unbeaten. They beat Perk Valley 26-10, handing Perk Valley their first loss. Roman Catholic, how do you compare them now against the upper tier, whether it be Imhotep or St. Joe Prep?
Well, yeah, 5A. They're 5A, correct, this year, Imhotep?
Imhotep is 5A,
I'm sorry,
yes.
Roman.
Roman is also 5A, yes.
Okay. So Roman Imhotep will probably be the district final at this point. You have to think.
I got to believe. I mean, you know, Kevin, we had some conversation off the air earlier about Roman being that team that could be that is now the contender.
Springs up, yeah, because I don't know if you could put LaSalle in that class anymore after what's going on.
No, I think that's they're not in the conversation.
They're
right
not
now.
In the conversation. Judge is not in the conversation right now either, and would we still have serious concerns? So if St. Joe Prep is going to get pushed, and I don't know if anybody's going to push them, is Roman the best shot?
They knocked off LaSalle last year, so it might be a situation where they prep for that one game and say, hey, this is their Super Bowl, you know, and then say, hey, this maybe it's time for a new crown to be placed on a different head.
You're talking a program that is, you know, you and I have been around the Catholic League a long time. It is up and down. There are times they look great. You know, obviously Marvin Harrison went there. I mean, so it does have a history. But there are times where they're 2-9, 2-10, and really down. So it's good to kind of see them bouncing up this year.
Yeah.
Let's go bouncing up, boys, because the Suburban One National tonight. Central Bucks West hosting Pensbury. Now, West loses two games. No shame. The Garnet Valley Upper Dublin. They trounced Quakertown last week. They invite Pensbury into the backyard. Pensbury beats them 26-21. Galen Snyder returns to Pensbury after a few years away from the program. He's got them 3-1 to start the year. Our first and 10-10 game, number 7. Kev, why is it a big one?
Well, it's a big one because Galen's 3-1. You know, Galen's a guy who people at Pensbury, in a strange way, always gritted their teeth.
Man, he doesn't throw the football.
Well, he's not exciting, but
right.
He wins. But he wins.
And so you saw when he was gone, they didn't win. So now they're winning. Maybe style points are overrated.
Right.
I don't know.
What do you think?
I would agree. High school football, you got to be able to run the football well. And defensively, you got to be able to stop the run. You know, in today's day and age, we love watching the NFL games. It's definitely a passing league, and a lot of that has filtered down into the college level and even into the high school level. But let's face it, if you can run the ball effectively in this league, in any league for that matter, you are going to be a team that's going to be pushing toward the top at the end of the season.
And the National is an ugly enough division right now where they can really make some inroads.
First and 10 at 10, we go to game number 8 in the Pac Frontier. Upper Marion and Owen J. Roberts, after an opening week loss to Conestoga. Owen J. Roberts, well, the Wildcats, they've rattled off 3 in a row. They beat Upper Marion tonight 28-6. And, Brian, I'll go to you. Why is this a big game?
Well, it's a situation where both teams coming in have a commanding record, and they want to make the statement for themselves going to the next level, because this is where that breakout happens between week 3 and week 5. You start to see who are the pretenders and who are the contenders. And this was a marquee matchup, obviously, coming into the season or into the week. And Owen J. Roberts gets the top end of that one.
And so for Owen J. Roberts, they got Perk Valley next week, and obviously an upset Perk Valley team that lost tonight to Roman Catholic. By the way, we'll get a report from Rob Sr. at around 10:50 tonight on that game. Let's look at Garnet Valley and Ridley. Coaching transition right there, Mike Rickey to Eric Van Wyk. Garnet Valley, though, not losing any momentum at all. They beat Ridley 35-7 tonight to improve to 4-0. Kev, I'll go to you. Why is this a big game?
Well, because Garnet Valley is just right now churning. I mean, they have everything going the way they are. And now if you look at the landscape, we've talked about this. Coatesville, Garnet Valley, the powers in the South. The Downingtowns, I think we would all agree, are in this mix that you got to say are the front runners right now to win 6A in District 1. And Garnet Valley is, you know, Ridley's a good football team, and they took Ridley apart tonight.
Mm.
And so this kind of tells you how strong Garnet Valley is.
Yeah, Coach Rickey left behind a great legacy, and Coach Van Wyk is obviously picking up where the pieces were placed down for him. And kudos to him.
another team that doesn't play overly attractive football, but just wins, right?
Yeah. Well, last year they were playing some pretty attractive football, but they had some tremendous athletes.
But they're not, that hasn't been their reputation over the years.
No, they run the ball and they run the ball well.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I look at that team. That's a team that's only lost four games in the last two plus seasons.
And Eric Van Wyk, the first-year head coach, is going to join us right around 11 o'clock. We're going to talk to him about that win tonight. Kev, our last game is a public league and an Interact team. It's tomorrow. It's Alny taking on Germantown Academy, who has gotten out to a 2-0 start. It's easy to give this one to Brian Hensel, but I'm going to start with you.
Well, the question is Alny playing over their head a little bit right now?
I think they're playing with a certain level of confidence, Kevin, to be honest with you, because we saw them come out and stun a Father Judge football team who was expected to be successful.
Knocked them back really for 2 weeks. It took Judge to kind of rebound off that.
Yeah. Right. And then they come back and face Chichester and are very successful in their ground attack against Chichester. So this is a quality team that's coming in, and they're looking to knock off Germantown Academy, who's currently undefeated with their last win last week over the Hill School. Well, so it could be a tide of turnings for both teams.
Right.
That is our first and 10 at 10. We've got all the scores coming up in just a few moments. Also, we're going to visit with the head coach from Pope John Paul II. We're going to talk to head coach at GW. Rob Sr. is going to join us. Those are coming up next. Rob Sr. is going to join us before 11 to talk about Upper Marion and Owen J. Roberts. That's the first hour. Kev, we also got our poll question.
Poll question, which league is the best? You could go to at Kevin Cooney, and you could pick PCL Red, Central, Chessmont. And
SOL.
The Suburban One National.
All right.
And there's a fifth option, which you can do a write-in on, because I'd be fascinated to see how many people from the Interact want to write in on this one.
All right. Phil Almquist is engineering tonight. We come back with more scores here on the High School Football Scoreboard Show.
Calling on Percocet to follow Talk Radio 1210 WPHT on the free Odyssey app.
Download it now.
Yeah, week number four of the high school football season. The weather's still warm, and we're enjoying it so much. Welcome back, everybody, with Kevin Cooney and Brian Hensel. I'm Jeff Nolan, Phil Almquist Engineering across the way. We gave you the first and 10 at 10. And, Kev, why don't we roll some scores here? Because Brian Hensel is getting ready for Hensel Highlights. It's a new feature. We're going to give some highlights of players at the end of the night. Brian, if they want to hit you up on Twitter and brag about something, how do they get a hold of you?
Send it to bhensel56. That's BHENSEL56. Would love to get some player names.
All right. So let's cue up the orchestra and let's go. Let's look at one game on Thursday night, Kevin. That was Massbaum and Edison. No contest here. Massbaum beats Edison, first win of the year, 52-8.
Let's go to the Catholic League. Father Judge rolls over Frankfurt, 49-14. The Crusaders have won two in a row since starting 0-2. Bonner Prendergast all over Archbishop Carroll, 48-0. Another Mercy Rule game tonight. Bonner Prendy is 3-1. And Haverford School beats LaSalle, 21-7. Haverford's 3-0, but LaSalle is 1-3. They've lost three in a row. And what was the number, Jeff, you said they've been outscored?
115-12. LaSalle's been outscored since the win again. First week win against North Penn.
So yeah. The Explorers are struggling.
All right, let's go to the public league. Kevin, Palumbo shuts out Dobbins tonight, 22-0. School of the Future does the same to Vox Big Picture, 46-0.
Gotta believe that School of the Future saw that one coming.
Oh my gosh. Boys Latin, the victim tonight. They lose to Lincoln 47-14. It was Central picking up their first win. They beat Martin Luther King 29-18. And Overbrook and Roxborough, Rendell Ivory and Overbrook loses on the road tonight. Their first loss. They lose to Roxborough 20-10, Kevin. You reminded me last week.
Yeah,
I said to Rendell that this should be a game you win. Is there any ramification or a penalty?
Yeah, you miss next week. You're suspended. It's a one-game suspension. You're a jinx.
We're going to hold you to that, too.
All right, fine.
All right, Saturn in the Suburban One League. Saturn beats Council Rock North 35-14. Boy, Ed Gallagher's team's 3-1, bounces back nicely from that tough loss last week at CB East. Hemrich rolls over Abington 34-0 at Schwartzman Stadium.
Chuck Berge, 2 in a row.
Chuck Berge is 1-2 in a row, and Pembridge suddenly now gets CB East next week. A little rivalry game.
A little bit.
CR South goes to 2-2. 14-6 win over Truman tonight on the road. PW all over Quakertown, 49-0. Poor George Bannis. This is not a good start.
Yeah, but good for Dan Chang. Good win.
Good for Dan Chang, but 49-0. PW was up 42-0 at the half, so dominating performance by the Colonials. Upper double and a 33-7 winner over Ben Salem tonight, so the Flying Cardinals are 4-0. And Springside Chestnut Hill Academy's falls to Cheltenham 7-6. One final score. Sorry about that in the suburban one. Tennant 30-18 winner over Hapoel Horsham. Tennant picks up their first win of the year.
Was that the one chance, Brian? I think that Tennant had a win this year. Looking at the schedule,
yeah, Jeff, they've got a very tough situation going on there, where they had to forfeit the back end of their season, right. and they're working on an independent schedule while playing suburban
this
one
is
schools.
Hapoel.
No,
this is
Hapoel. We're talking about Hapoel. I was talking about Tennant.
Tennant.
That's okay.
Gotcha. As far as Tennant was concerned,
it's the
one that they had to win.
It's the wing sauce permeating that distracted you, correct?
Gotcha. Yeah, yes. Or maybe the school of the future wasn't involved, so you can predict my question.
Yes.
All right, Kev, I'm going to look at the Chessmont, okay?
Okay.
Kennett and Rustin tonight, it was the Chessmont, unofficial Chessmont American title. Nate Heckenberger told me that. He's going to join us after 11 o'clock. It was Kennett beating Rustin 24-14. Kennett improves to 3-1 at Downingtown East next week, by the way. Pat Clark and Unionville pick up a shutout victory over Westchester East, 17-0. Sun Valley beats Westchester Henderson 28-9. It is Downingtown West shutting out Avon Grove, 55-0. Downingtown East, easy victory over Bishop Shanahan, 42-7. But Shanahan, when they get back into their regular classification, things change there. We know that. Coatesville and Penwood, that is a Saturday matchup.
All right, so we go now to the Central
League.
Let's go to the Central. Garden Valley beating Ridley, 35-7, as we mentioned earlier. Garden Valley is the cream of the crop right now. Springfield Delco falls to Strathaven, 41-14. Strathaven is now 4-0.
Kev, and who's going to join us 11:30 to talk about that?
That would be Bob Groats.
Yeah.
Bob Groats will join us. Pencrest picks up a 41-13 win over Harrodin to pick up their first win of the season. Conestoga wins at the gun. 15-14, a win at the buzzer.
The way the season's gone so far.
That's a bit. You know what? I'm sorry. That's a bad choice of words.
Yes.
They win at the buzzer, 15-14 to go to 3-1 over Haverford, who is 1-3. Marple Newtown 32-6 over Radnor. Marple is 4-0 in 5A.
Yeah, just to be very clear.
I understand. I'm sorry.
That was not intended. Just want to be careful. Hey, Kev, I'm going to go Del Valle League. Academy Park improves to 2-2. They beat Chichester 15-6. Saturday matchup, Chester unbeaten. Speaking of teams that I've put the flummox on, they are 3-0. They've got Interborough tomorrow, and that is a Saturday game.
That's the team we're going to watch, Chester. They're a team that I think is on the brink of greatness.
Pioneer Athletic Conference tonight, Boyertown 33-0 win over Pottsgrove to pick up their first win. The fact that 21-7 over Upper Perkiomen, they pick up their first win. Norristown is 2-2. That's 2 in a row, I believe, for the Eagles. 21-12 winner over Pottstown.
By the way, Norristown had a fire in their equipment room. That's what happened. Yeah, they had a fire. And Wissahickon, I believe it was last week, lent them helmets. We were talking to Rob Sr., remember?
Yeah.
And then Philadelphia Eagles bought them cleats.
Good job by the Eagles.
Yeah. Right, I was reading about that. All right, let's go to the Bicentennial Athletic League, Kevin, because we're patriotic people here.
I actually could update this one, too.
Go ahead.
6-3, Jenkintown beats New Hope. The Drakes go to 3-1. It is Jenkintown's first win against New Hope in 10 years.
Really?
Yes.
Well, they didn't have a football program for 5 of them.
No, they've had a football program since 2011.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. They're all starting to run together.
You really are on vacation mode right now, aren't you?
I'm trying to check back in here. Hey, the Marshfield Bulldogs taking on Halifax of Nova Scotia. No, I'm just kidding. They couldn't afford to go there. We don't have a score on that one. Renaissance Academy loses. George Cole shuts them out 6-0. Pennington and Bristol, that is a Saturday game at 2 o'clock at the tiny but cozy Borough of Bristol.
All right, so the Saturday games.
Okay.
Delco Christian at Valley Forge Military Academy at 1 o'clock in District 1. Phoenixville Springfield Monco at 1 o'clock at Monco. Pope John Paul II and John Bartram tomorrow down at the South Philly Supersite at 1. Upper Darby and Lower Merion, that's a 1 o'clock game. Upper Moreland and Executive Education Academy. You can take your school of the future, and I'm going to take the Executive Education Academy.
Hey, smarty, smarty.
That's a 7 o'clock game at Muhlenberg. Pennington and Bristol is tomorrow at 2. District 12, you want to take that?
Ben Franklin and Mastery North Charter, that's at the Germantown Supersite at 1 o'clock. Cardinal O'Hara, West Catholic, that's at 1 o'clock. Kensington and Kip Dubois Collegiate Academy, that's at the Simon Grad Supersite at 1. We talked Pope John Paul and John Bartram, that's in the double there, Kev, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, no problem. By the way, Scott Reed's going to join us at the bottom of the hour, head coach of Pope John Paul. Olney Charter, Germantown Academy, that's at 1:30. What time is coffee, Brian?
It would be about 12:45.
All right.
What kind of donuts?
No donuts. They're coffee. Conwell Egan and Archbishop Ryan. That's at Northeast Supersite at 4. And GW head coach Austin Brash. Oh, we're going to get the correct pronunciation.
Brash, I think.
Brash. He's going to join us also at about 10:35. Stay tuned for that. They've got Belmont Charter. And that's at the super site as well. Interact, Kev, you want to do that?
Well, we mentioned Alney and GA, yeah. And Blair Academy and William Penn Charter. That's at 3 o'clock.
All right, so we've rocked the 1st and 10. We've rocked the other scores. We're going to rock with the coaches and the reporters coming up. It's a Friday night. If you've got us on the Odyssey app, that means you're out of the area. But when a radio station hits 27 states, you got to have us somewhere. And it's on 1210 WPHT.
The Friday Night High School Football Scoreboard Show with Jeff Nolan and Kevin Cooney.
Hey buddy, it's the High School Football Scoreboard Show. We are here in the 1210 WPHT studios. Kevin, we're doing live radio. Can you finish that text? We are trying to get to Scott Reed. We're having some phone problems. So, Scott, we're going to text you.
I just spilled wing sauce trying to get it.
And we're going to text you the phone number here for you to call us because we're having trouble dialing out to you. Scott Reed is the head coach at Pope John Paul, Golden Panthers. They are 3-0 to start the season. They've got a road game tomorrow against John Bartram. That'd be non-league for them, but then they come back into the Pioneer Athletic Conference Frontier Division with a game against Upper Perkiomen. So, Scott, if you can call us, and we'll talk to you in just a little bit. 3-0 start, by the way. Scott is a former head coach at Perk Valley and got them to the playoffs quite a few times.
Yeah.
So that was good. He's 3-0 to start the season. Offense has been playing well. 49 points last week. Kev, they go against wins against Carroll, your father, Judge Team, and Berks Catholic, and that one game was at Ocean City, so you got a chance to see him, right?
Yeah, and what they did, I mean, the thing about that Ocean City game, they were facing, it was in overtime, they were facing, I want to say, 2nd and goal from the 35 because of penalties.
Okay.
And found a way to score and went for 2 and got it.
Mm.
So Scott put, like, that team is pretty confident, and they have a really good sense of where they are and what they're doing right now.
Well, joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Golden Panthers in his first season, Scott Reed. And Scott, hey, we welcome you back to the show, different location, but things haven't changed. Welcome back.
How you doing?
Doing well. Hey, I know we're keeping you up late for a Saturday game. 3-0 to start the season. Kevin was just singing your praises about that Ocean City victory over Father Judge. What has gone well for you guys early on to start this season at 3-0?
Well, it's funny because, you know, you could always turn it around. You could be 0-3. You never know with football. That's just the way it goes. We've been fortunate to be on the positive end of some of these games. And we're just trying to take everything one game at a time. 1-0 mentality. Each game has its own challenge. And, you know, what we told the kids today, again, that we're going into Bartram tomorrow, is every week you got to go out and prove yourself. Every week. No one cares what you did last week or 2 weeks ago. You got to go out and perform today. We're just trying to take it one day at a time, one game at a time.
Scott, you know, it's always, every coach, I think, tries to say that. Why does your team buy into it, though?
I think because we're just a new staff with a new system. We're running a different defense this year. Offense is similar, but obviously it's all different terminology for the kids. So, I don't think there's anything they can really – I think they're just trying to master what they're doing, and it's hard to really look ahead when we're just trying to get better at the things that we're trying to teach them. We don't that's one thing about being a first-year head coach, first-year system. There's no juniors and seniors on your team that have ever run your stuff before.
Right.
So we're all learning. I mean, every week is a opportunity to try to get better. Every practice is a night to go out and have 2 hours to try and understand our system just a little bit better. And until we get a full year under our belt, I'm not going to have a group of kids that have done our system for 10 games or whatever you can get in a season. So that's pretty much, I think, the easiest way to be able to keep them just locked in on what's going on a day-to-day basis is we're still trying to learn what we're doing.
Coach, you've had successes in other places you've been at, and clearly you're bringing it now. What's been your biggest challenge with this first-year opportunity that you've got? I mean, you're off to a great start, but what are the challenges you're facing?
I came into a program that actually has had success over the last couple of years. I think that's one of the biggest things is getting the kids to trust that what we're trying to do as a staff. And there's a lot of ways to skin a cat. You know, there's not one way to do things. And even though I think the old coaching staff did a great job and they understood their system, I couldn't teach a system that's not mine, so I had to make it my own. And just getting the kids to buy in early on what we're trying to do and what we're trying to accomplish was probably the biggest struggle. And yeah, some of those seniors, they've been with Coach Graver. They went on to Wissahickon for 3 years, 4 years. So that's a tough transition for some of those kids. And I'm sensitive to that. I understand that they've been with him for a while, and they're just trying to earn my trust. And what's it been, 6 or 7 months? So. Like I said, that's what I think really makes it easy for us to just kind of focus on 1 week at a time, because it could go either way so easily.
Scott Reed joins us. He's the head football coach at Pope John Paul II. They will play tomorrow at John Bartram down at the Supersite. Golden Panthers have really come off to had a good start. Scott, you talk about having the kids who have had the same coaching staff for 3 years with Rory Graver, who, as you mentioned, went on the Wissahickon. So do you have to tread lightly when you walk into a locker room that way? Some coaches come in fire brimstone. Did you have to tread lightly, you felt, right away?
No, I never felt like I had to tread lightly. I mean, I was fortunate enough. I was actually on Coach Graver's staff last year, and when he dropped the news that he was going to be moving on, I think we were all kind of shocked. So I had, I definitely got to have the assistant coach rapport with the kids. And I'll tell you what, I'd never had much experience as an assistant coach. I kind of got thrust into being the head coach when I was 24 years old. And I really enjoyed that assistant role. Everybody likes the assistant.
Brian?
I can definitely agree. There's less headaches, right, Coach?
No doubt about it. My old athletic director said, if you if you want to manage a football team, be the head coach. If you want to coach football, be an assistant. I enjoyed that role, and it gave me a chance to really build bonds and relationships with some of these kids, so that when I did take the job, even though there was new system in place, they knew me as a person, as an individual, and I think they kind of understood my expectations because of just the experience they had with me as an assistant coach a little bit.
Well, Scott, you've got Bartram tomorrow. We appreciate your time tonight. Best of luck to you rest of the season. Good start, and keep things going over there for the Golden Panthers.
Hey, thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about our football program, and thanks for all you guys are doing to promote high school football. I still think it's America's game, man, and our country loves it. So thanks for doing what you guys are doing.
Always appreciate your time, Scott. Hey, listen, let's stay on the phones here. We've got another team. That's 3-0, and that is the Eagles of George Washington. They fit a shutout in between wins at Frankfort and South Philly over Jules Massbaum, and their head coach Austin Brashy joins us right now. And Austin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about our program.
No problem at all. Your status now. You're a first year head coach there.
Yes. I've been with the program. So Coach Benzio was kind of in need of a defensive coordinator when I first moved up here to Philly back in the 2019 season. He knew I had some football in my past, and so we just kind of hit the ground running a couple games into the season. We went through that COVID year and the spring football and, all the stuff with that. And then last season, called both offense and defense, just kind of, getting more and more comfortable with, Philly football and everything. And then the timing was just kind of right that I kind of stepped in at the beginning of summer. And so kind of been the head coach since last summer and into this season.
Austin, before we go any further, now where are you from? You say you refer to the Philly area. Where are you from originally?
Yeah. So I'm actually originally from Central Iowa, a small town in Central Iowa, Nevada, Iowa.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, I got my math degree at Iowa State and then started to teach and coach in a suburban school right outside of Des Moines for 3 years, then by way of Oklahoma, and then my wife and I moved up here 4 years ago.
Oh, that's great. Tremendous.
Austin, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. When we talked on the phone this week, the one thing I wanted to bring up was the fact that how much of that Frankfurt game, and Frankfurt was a team last year that had basically, run pretty well through the public league until they got to Imhotep, which, everybody kind of did at that point, when you're running the Imhotep. For you guys to beat them on opening night the way you did, 14-12 at the Northeast Supersite, how much has that just been a springboard to what's gone on since then for you guys?
Yeah, no, I mean, that was a huge game. That's a huge rivalry matchup, a tough team last year. That week one game, the two athletic directors, Durbin and Geyser, have done a great job of bringing that back. It's like a big rivalry game to kick off both seasons. And so it was fun. And so last year they put it to us. It was 50-0.
Right.
Like I kind of talked about before, we're coming back from the pandemic season. We had like 19 players, and we just did the best we could to build it up over our summer weight program. And that's, to me, like the foundation of this team. I will always look back at that summer after the pandemic season. Like those kids really bought in. We built that number to like 30. But we went in that first Frankfurt game, and we had so many kids that had never played. Some had never played football since they were like 7th and 8th graders. And we're finally coming back out. Most never played varsity football.
Right.
And they put it to us. And that stung, that group that poured so much into this season. And so that was a huge win. That was a win. Got the monkey off our back.
And also, I want to kind of bring this up. I mean, you're talking about a program that, was down to bare minimum numbers, but it's also a program that has a rich history. I mean, Ron Cohen had tons of success at Washington. So how do you balance the past and the current when your numbers are down that far?
Yeah, and that's what had been a struggle, trying to just bring back and find like some pride back in the program. And that's what I've tried to really hone in on and tap into the rich tradition and the standard that Washington set for the Philadelphia Public League for so many years. And that's actually something I've been able to, be connected with some previous alums that are really connected people. And so right now on our staff, myself and my defense coordinator are the only non-Washington grads. Five of our coaches have all won championships at Washington. And so they get to speak it to our players, every single day and talk about what it means to be a Washington Eagle. And our kids have embodied, I think our kids are starting to embody that buy-in, that team together, that we preach to them. They play for each other. And so it's just been a beautiful thing. And so that's part of definitely some of our success is coming from, these great people giving back to the program that gave them so much back in the day.
Austin, you've got them out to a great start at 3-0. Good luck tomorrow against Belmont. We appreciate your time, and I know you've been here a while, but welcome to the area and welcome to our show.
Thank you so much. I really look forward to talking with you guys again. I appreciate the time that you guys have me on to promote the good stuff we have going over at Washington.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Austin Brashy from Central Iowa. Central Idaho. Iowa.
It's right near Ottumwa.
It's corn over potatoes.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a timeout when we come back and roll the scores again one more time. Rob Sr. is going to join us as well. We're going to talk Upper Marion and Owen J. Roberts. It's a Friday night, the High School Football Scoreboard Show on 1210 WPHT.
Free speech lives here. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back, everybody. High School Football Friday night. Gorgeous weather. Great action. Week number 4. We do this through the Thanksgiving Friday. Well, that's the district final with Kevin Cooney and Brian Hensel. I'm Jeff Nolan. Scores and highlights. Poll question as well, Kevin. What is that?
Poll question is, can you, at Kevin Cooney or at WPHT score, What is the best league in southeastern Pennsylvania? The Suburban One National.
Best league game tonight.
Best what?
Best game tonight. Which league had the best game?
Well, the question is, which is the best league, top to bottom?
Okay.
Suburban National, the PCL Red, the Chessmont, or the Central League? All so right.
That is our question.
That
How
is
we
our
doing?
Question.
How we doing?
Right now, the PCL Red has 56% of the vote.
All right. All right. So just for scheduling purposes, that Upper Marion conversation, OJ Roberts, Rob Sr., we're going to push that back to around 11:10.
Yes.
Okay. So let's hit scores and highlights right now, boys.
All right. Here we go. We'll go with the first 10 that we had tonight. CB East, the 21-7 winner over CB South. CB East goes to 4-0. Also, Springford, they fall to 2-2 after falling to Mantimes Township 17-14. That's two in a row for the Rams.
The Archbishop Wood Vikings and their first-year head coach, Dave Armstrong, pick up their first win of the season in a 14-6 win over Northeast. Neshaminy North Penn battle to a 28-28 tie. It goes to overtime, and North Penn outlasts them 35-28.
Malvern Prep is 3-0 and maybe the best team in the state. 17-13 win over Imhotep tonight in a battle of Titans. In 5A, Roman Catholic is 4-0, 26-10 winner over Perkiomen Valley.
In a battle of the Suburban One National, we have the Pennsbury Falcons outlasting CB West 26-21. And O&J Roberts improves to 3-1 with their 28-6 victory over Upper Marion.
Garnet Valley keeps rolling along, 35-7 winner over Ridley tonight in the Central League. Alney and Germantown Academy will play on Saturday. That's the end of the first and 10. Thursday scores, Manspawn beat Thomas Edison 52-8. Now into the Catholic League, Brian.
Okay, we got Father Judge getting the best of Frankfurt in a 49-14 victory. We had Bonner Prendergast winning 48-0, blanking Archbishop Carroll. And lastly, we had the Haverford School winning 21-7 over LaSalle Explorers.
Friday in the public league, Palumbo 22-0 over Dobbins to pick up their first win. School of the Future beats Vox Big Picture 46-0. School of the Future is 2-2. Lincoln is now 2-2, 47-14 winner over Boys Latin. Central 29-18 win. They pulled away late over Martin Luther King to pick up their first win of the year. And the biggest shocker maybe of all, Roxborough, who was winless coming in, beats Overbrook, who was undefeated coming in, 20-10 tonight, this afternoon in Roxborough, the Suburban One League, Brian.
In Suburban One League scores, we've got Souderton improving to 3-1 with a victory of 35-14 over Council Rock North. We've got Penn Ridge blanking Abington 34-0 to even their record at 2-2. We've got Council Rock South besting Truman 14-6, and Plymouth White Marsh blanking Quakertown 49-0. In other scores, Upper Dublin continues to go on a roll, improving to 4-0 with a 33-7 victory over Ben Salem. And we had Cheltenham, a 7-6 victor over Interac Springside Chestnut Hill Academy. William Tennant picks up their first win and goes to 1-3 with their 30-18 victory over Hatboro Horsham.
Tennant over Westchester Rustin 24-14 in the Chessmont America game of the year tonight. So Tennant goes to 3-1. Unionville 17-0. They shut out Westchester East. Sun Valley beats Westchester Henderson 28-9 to pick up their first win of the year. Downingtown West all over Avengrove 55-0. Downingtown East 42-7 over Bishop Shanahan. They go to 3-1. Coatesville and Penwood, that's tomorrow. Into the Central League, Brian.
We've got Garnet Valley improving to 4-0 with a 35-7 victory over Ridley. Strathaven also goes to 4-0 with their 41-14 victory over Springfield Delco. Pencrest picks up their first win of the season, and they win 41-13 over Harriton. We have Conestoga and Haverford in the closest contest of the night. Conestoga wins out 15-14. We have Marple Newton 32-6. A winner over Radnor to
finally,
improve to 4-0.
Finally, DelVal 15-6, Academy Park over Chichester. That wraps up the night in high school football.
Oh, and don't forget, we got Saturday action as well. So coming up in just a little bit, Eric Van Wyck from Garnet Valley is going to join us. Nate Heckenberger is going to talk about Rustin Kennett. Rob Sr., Upper Marion, Owen J. Roberts. That's our next, Kevin, just 15-minute segment coming up. That's how we're starting the 11 o'clock hour off.
Wow.
A 4-0 coach and two great reporters. So remember, you've got us on the Odyssey app. If you can't get us on the signal that hits 27 states, that's right. History is right here. 1210 WPHT. It's the High School Football Scoreboard Show right here on a Friday night.
WPHT. WPHT HT. WOGL HD3. Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Now, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios,
where relationships matter.
It's the Scoreboard Show.
The Friday Night High School Football Scoreboard Show with Jeff Nolan and Kevin Cooney.
Don't leave Brian Hensel out of that, please. Welcome back, everybody. It is a big night, Friday Night High School Football with Kevin and Brian. I'm Jeff. Kev, before we get to our next guest, I mean, I talk about this station, the legacy of this station. We hear Sid Mark still on. I can remember.
God bless him.
I got to tell you a real quick story. 1971, I'm in Kentucky camping, listening to this radio station. Rick Wise hits two home runs, pitches a no-hitter. John Vukovich catches a line drive at third off the bat of
Pete Rose.
Pete Rose for a no-hitter. That's the station we're on. We're doing high school football conversation on that radio station. This, we're here.
Steve-O and Don Henderson.
Oh, man. This is tremendous. It's like a dream come true.
It is.
All right. Hey, so speaking of dreams come true, let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
If you're a former player that had success and you wanted to go back and coach somewhere, you'd probably pick your alma mater, right?
Absolutely.
Well, that's what our next guest did. Eric Van Wyk joins us, head coach first year at Garnet Valley, out to a 4-0 start and starting to pop points on the board. 55, 49, and 35 last three games. So we welcome the first-year head coach. Eric, how are you?
I'm great. How you doing? Thanks for taking the time.
Hey, thank you very much, because I know personally that you're a very busy man for other reasons as well. You're a dad with a young one, and sleep is a premium. This team is not sleeping on you. Transition from Mike Ricci to you. First of all, let's talk about you taking a job at a school where you had success at. What was that like for you?
It was special, obviously, but you know, Coach Ricci has been, besides my parents, the biggest role model of my life. So taking the reins from him was a special moment for me. But it's been really cool to be able to, you know, I really only know Garnet Valley football. I played here, and then for the past 11 years, I've been coaching here. So been very blessed to be in a great community like Garnet Valley.
Coach, congratulations. Tonight, I mean, it's just another one of those in the 35-7 win over Ridley. It sounds just so methodical and workmanlike in everything. What is it about kind of the culture that is in place right now where you guys, you don't just beat teams, you dispatch them fairly easy. This is what we've seen from some really great teams over the years, like North Penn, Coatesville, those kind of programs.
Oh, I appreciate you saying that. Today was a little closer than probably what it looks like on the scoreboard. It was 14-7 in the third quarter. But, you know, I appreciate you saying that workmanlike attitude. We really do try to take pride in doing the little things right at practice. And really, you know, we are really big on discipline and doing the little things right day in and day out. And I think tonight kind of proved that with the mentality of how things went.
Coach, off the air earlier, we were talking about how Coach Ricci took this from a 2A program when we had a 4A classification and then went to a 4A and now to a 6A. The school is growing. Obviously, the interest in football. I look on your sideline, there's over 100 kids in uniform.
Yeah.
How do you handle 100 kids in a practice session and keep their interest and involvement in buying into the program?
Well, that's a true testament to our assistant coaches. I mean, it's crazy to say this, but I have 19 assistant coaches, and you know, only four of them get paid, and then the rest of them are all volunteers, and they still show up Monday through Friday every single week. But having that many coaches just goes to show. I mean, it allows for us to have a really sound practice in the sense that we have JV on one side of the field and offense on the other, and we practice for 2 hours and flip flop our offense and defensive coaches. But it really allows for us to continue to hopefully develop the youth and get them ready for their varsity seasons. And I think that's really helped us.
19 assistant coaches, that's a lot of pizza for...
Kev, it gets worse. Four get paid. The other 15 were listening to the radio and didn't realize that four get paid.
Yeah.
Okay, so it gets worse. It gets worse.
Your AD's going to have some contract negotiations coming up pretty soon here.
So, you might be right about that.
Eric Van Wyk on the phone with us, first-year head coach, former quarterback, I believe, but first-year head coach at Garnet Valley and a former player, 4-0 to start the season. Eric, and you know, I've talked to Brian, former head coach at Central Bucks West and other coaches. A lot of time, the team will take on the personality of a head coach. Was that necessary given that your predecessor, Mike Ricci, was so successful? How was that as a team getting used to you?
Yeah, you know, I really do try to keep the same beliefs and culture and foundation that coach sent before us. And once again, having so many assistant coaches that were in, you know, with Mike, it's allowed for us to do that. But, you know, I think, you know, being, I don't know, I think they certainly have responded to me. I bring a little bit more, I don't know, I guess you can say a little bit of a different type of energy at practice, but they've been responding well to that. And I think, you know, my number one goal is just to keep the tradition going that coach set before me. And, you know, we're off to a good start, but we got a lot of big games coming up as well.
I know it's tough asking a first-year coach this, but when do you start peaking? Like, look, the PowerPoints are going to come out in the next week or so. When do you start peaking at that point, where you stand against Coatesville and Downingtown and all them, and the teams you're going to probably have to battle for a district title?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I won't. We have plenty of assistant coaches that really like to dive into the numbers. but I, you know, I'm a one week at a time guy.
I knew you would say that.
I know you. Yeah. You heard the coaches speak coming. But to be honest, you know, we do have some assistant coaches that love to crunch the numbers, and it's always exciting to hear what they have to say and who you might get and everything. But there's a lot of season left before any playoff talk can happen, so we're just going to take it one week at a time.
We've had Coach Ricky on with us for many years on the other station in here. Love the energy you bring in his place, and wish you a lot of success the rest of the way out, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate your time, guys.
All right. Thank you. That is Eric Van Wyk, head coach, first-year head coach at Garnet Valley, former quarterback with the team back in the mid-90s, I believe. 11 years with the program coaching.
Yeah. Let me ask Brian a real quick question.
Ahead. Nate Heckenberg is going to join us in a minute.
You had an opportunity to speak. You were not a direct step into the program after both Mike Pettit and Mike Carey, but there is a legacy there that you had to follow when you went into the program.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was three coaches removed, but you could still feel that presence that was there. And it wasn't imposed by Coach Pettin so much as what he had left there and the legacy that he had there. And it's clear that Coach Van Wyk feels that just less than a year after Coach Ricky has stepped down.
So what's the most difficult part of it?
I think the most difficult part is actually carving your own path without making it about you, mm-hmm. because you have to be yourself as your coach. You can't just puppet what somebody else is doing. Clearly, he's had good coaching. We know that because Coach Ricky is a fantastic coach. And he's got to find out, hey, what was it that worked well for him?
Yeah.
And then how do I adapt that to what my personality is so that his true personality as a coach comes through?
And they must have known that that was the pick. I mean, yeah. It was probably an easy pick for the school district.
It's just keeping it in-house. I mean, why go outside
right.
if you got to go?
Love his energy, too. Yeah. And he's got a newborn. Like, we were trying to get him on the first week. And he goes, Jeff, because I'm just burnt. And, you know, raising kids, I could definitely appreciate that. Hey, there's a guy that we didn't have on last week. I thought, are we ever going to get him back? That's Nate Heckenberg. I said, all right, Nate, we need you. Nate's going to talk about Ruston and Kennett. Nate, how are you, bud?
I'm doing well. I'm glad to be back. I felt left out last week.
Right for the Daily Local, our friend Nate Heckenberg. Hey, so you told me this was the unofficial Chessmont League American Division title, and Kennett beats Ruston tonight. Their third win, is that in any way a surprise?
I would say it's a minor surprise. It's only the second time Kennett's beaten Ruston in their existence, which, you know, dates back to the mid-2000s. So certainly not a regular occurrence by any means, but it was a very well-played game and, you know, came down to the wire. It was pretty exciting.
So is this a case that Kennett outplayed them, or did Ruston kind of, you know, trip over themselves a couple times here with turnovers?
I mean, the last drive, Kennett kind of sealed the deal with the pick six in the last 2 minutes of the game to make it 24-14. But it was actually interesting. Ruston, the first two drives, they totaled 170 yards. They went up 14-0, but one of their running backs got hurt on the second drive. Mm. So after he was out, they only had 97 yards the rest of the way, and Kennett just kind of chipped away with good defense and really good special teams. And, yeah, they snuck one out of there. It was pretty remarkable.
Look, everybody makes it in 5A. We all laugh about how 24 teams will make it in 5A out of District 1.
Yeah.
I mean, so in reality, you know, this game's not that big because, except for the fact it's a rivalry game. But what does it do for Kennett's kind of their belief system that they can win a game like that?
Yeah, I think it's just big. I mean, Kennett's been, you know, kind of on the rise the last few years. Ever since Lance Frazier got there, they've had a lot more success, and they're trying to build that. But the one thing Coach Frazier said tonight, you know, just after the game was, you know, this was a game where people, you know, should start taking notice of Kennett, but also that his own team better start taking notice of how good they could actually be. So it was kind of one of those deals where, like, you know, Kenneth's getting better, but the program has to start to believe that itself before they take that next step.
All right. Well, Nate, great to have you back on the air with us tonight, keeping us involved in Chessmont League, writing for the Daily Local. Hey, social media. Well, first of all, I want to remind everybody, are you still doing the photography thing?
Absolutely. Yeah, it pays the bills. Yeah, this Friday night stuff just gets me out of the house.
But, how do they get a hold of you for a photography business?
My Twitter is just N Heckenberger, Instagram Nate Heckenberger Photography. You can find me there.
Buddy, appreciate your time. Looking forward to talking to you the rest of the season. Thank you for letting us know that Kennett picks up win number 3 tonight with a win over Ruston 24-14.
Thanks, guys.
I have one late score we didn't get until right now.
Go ahead.
Great Valley 14-7 over Oxford tonight. So okay. Great Valley is now 4-0.
Woo! Keep an eye on them right now, too. Hey, let's keep to the phones right now as we now check in O&J Roberts, Upper Marion. O&J Roberts, Kev, picking up a win. And Rob Sr. joins us on the phone as well. And Rob writes for the Pottstown Mercury. Rob, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, so this was on our first and 10 list. We thought it was one of the more important games of the week. O&J Roberts goes to 3-1. They lost to Conestoga week number 1, but they've been impressive the last 3 weeks.
They sure have. So this was the third game since Conestoga, and they've allowed a total of 2 touchdowns. Upper Marion came right out tonight, to their credit. Took it straight down the field, 6 plays, about 70 yards. Went up 6-0, but after that, O&J gave them nothing. And Upper Marion, there's some talent on that team, but they didn't help themselves tonight. 14 penalties.
Sloppy, huh?
Yeah. 4 turnovers, 14 penalties. Like I said, there's some talent, but this wasn't their best showing.
All right, so next week O&J gets Perk Valley at home. Perk Valley tonight gets tripped up by Roman Catholic, which I think a little bit of a surprise, as bad as it was. So is this a measuring stick game for O&J next week suddenly?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at what they've done with Hickin and Navin Grove, and then tonight with Upper Marion. I mean, nothing against those teams, but business really picks up when they go to Perk Human Valley. That team is, they're complete, they're solid, good coaching, good depth. They can do it all. And, you know, the way they hung in there with Roman Catholic tonight, you know, kind of like you said, I thought that game would come down to the wire, which didn't happen. But, you know, Perk Valley's dealing with an injury at quarterback right now, but they will absolutely be ready next week. And, if O&J can put in a good showing in that one, you've got a legitimate playoff contender.
Yeah, they've got Springford after that, so it doesn't get, you know, it's rough the next couple weeks. If they could steal a win there, and I guess, is that a fair statement, steal a win?
I would think that we would all have to consider O&J beating Perk Human Valley an upset. It certainly hasn't happened in the past few years.
Right.
And, like I said, Perk Valley, from what I've seen, is right near the top of the district this year.
Yeah, and Springford after. I mean, even if you lose 2 and if you could win out, you're still right in that mix for a bottom 8 playoff team.
And the truth is, for O&J, you know, for the past, you know, half a dozen years or so, it has been Perk Human Valley and Springford kind of ping-ponging back and forth at the top, and then everyone else, you know. And O&J probably shakes out 3rd in that more years than not, but you know that's not good enough for them.
Sure. No, I agree. Hey, Rob, we were talking last week about that, I believe it was Norristown, Wissahickon. Okay.
Yeah.
I read somebody was tweeting, you probably saw it too, that there was a fire in their athletic equipment room.
And there was, you know, I guess irreparable damage done to a lot of the equipment. So
right.
Norristown, who, you know, let's take a few seconds here and just compliment that program. Not only stepping up to help out Mathacton last week at the last minute.
Yeah.
But 2 straight wins now, which they haven't done in a while. Pottsgrove, Pottstown, took them both down. And, you know, they're kind of asserting themselves along with Boyertown into that conversation of teams that could possibly play spoiler for the Springfords, the Perk Human Valley.
I don't want to confuse our audience because now I'm confused. The fire was where at?
I'm sorry. Yes. So Mathacton
had a fire.
And Norristown helped them.
And Norristown stepped up to help out. You mentioned Wissahickon, which is actually who Mathacton was playing.
Right.
So that's where, yeah.
And the Eagles stepped in as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right,
yep.
Okay.
Filled up Eagles and I think a couple other organizations. Really just everybody coming together from the community, which is great to see, especially after a couple of tough years.
Yeah. Hey, Rob, listen, I know we bounced you around a little bit. We appreciate your patience with us tonight. Always, it's great having you part of the show now, and I know we're going to talk again.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you. O.J. Roberts, a winner tonight over Upper Marion. And, Kev, we've had O.J. in the selection show. I know Rich Kolka has run that program for a few years, right?
And yeah, we've always had him towards the back end of it. Now they're going to be front and center at this point.
Well,
they're,
if they could, again, steal a win in the next two weeks, Perk Valley and Springford.
And the one thing that's going to be interesting, and you heard Rob mention about Perk Valley's quarterback being injured. This was a team coming in that averaged 43 a game, and tonight was held to 10. So is that the norm, or is what they've done in the past more the norm?
Mm.
Yeah, what are you going to see from Perk Valley in that game?
For O.J. Roberts, by the way, this Upper Marion game was the first of three home games, so they get Perk Valley and Springford at home.
Yeah.
So
it's a big benefit.
Yeah, especially against teams of that quality. Kevin, our poll question.
Poll question is, which league is the toughest right now in southeastern Pennsylvania? And I'm trying to get the results here. I apologize.
And that's top to bottom, not just one
particular
team.
Top to bottom,
yeah.
not just the number one team. Has to be top to bottom. Catholic League is 44%. SOL National, 27. I don't know what you people are watching. Chessmont, 21, and Central is 8.
This is no way meant to affect your decision with Kevin's comments right there. But
And can I ask the one question to Brian?
Surely.
Interact belong in that conversation as a candidate. Not the best, but as a candidate.
I'd have to believe so. Someone tweeted out to me earlier, through almost three full weeks of football, they're 13-2.
This is the Interact.
In the Interact, yeah. They're 13-2 against opponents and have outscored their opponents 401-133. So
who are you removing out of that four list then? Spurs won National.
I can see where you're at, because top to bottom,
yeah.
It isn't necessarily there, because there's a very high top and there's a very low bottom right now in the Suburban One. So top to bottom, I wouldn't necessarily put them in there.
Okay. Yeah. Times they are changing, my friend. Times they are changing. Speaking of times, coming up, going to roll the scores one more time. Andrew Robinson's going to join us. We're going to talk Pennridge and Abington. Bob Grotz is going to join us at the bottom of the hour at Strathaven and Springfield Delco.
Yes.
So a lot of stuff coming up here. It's a Friday night. You've got us on the Odyssey app. Also, the High School Football Scoreboard Show right here on 1210 WPHT.
Hey, Mount Laurel. We know your favorite station is WPHT. Tell your smart speaker to play 1210 WPHT.
Digging it on a Friday night. Welcome back, everybody. WPHT and the Odyssey app. I'm Jeff Dolan, along with Brian Hensel and Kevin Cooney. It's the High School Football Scoreboard Show. Each and every Friday night, 10 to midnight through Thanksgiving Friday, that is the district finals. But we're in week number 4. Andrew Robinson's going to join us a little bit, talk about Pennridge and Abington. Bob Grotz is going to join us, talk about Strathaven, Springfield, Delco. But right now, I have these two incredibly talented gentlemen, Kevin Cooney and Brian Hensel, with such great reading skills that I'm going to let them run through the scores.
Well, Brian, you ready?
Great opening.
Well, we're trying to get the cardio ready, because we're going to sprint through these real quick.
This place smells like wings, folks.
Exactly.
Don't even come in here.
All right, CB East is a 21-7 winner over CB South. The Patriots are 4-0. Manheim Township beats Springford 17-14. Springford's lost two in a row, both out of District 3. Go ahead, Jim.
Archbishop Wood picks up its first win of the season and its first win for its first-year head coach, Dave Armstrong, in a 14-6 win over Northeast, improving to 1-1. Neshaminy falls to North Penn in overtime, 35-28. Both teams are now at 2-2.
You put a short list together of the 10 best teams in Pennsylvania, these two would be on. And Malvern Prep, 17-13 winner over Imhotep. Malvern, by the way, gets Roman next week. Very interesting game. Roman is 4-0 after a 26-10 win over Perky Omen Valley tonight on the road.
Perhaps a sneak peek for next week's 1st and 10. All right, we've got Pennsbury, a 26-21 winner over CB West to approve to 3-1, and O.J. Roberts, 28-6 victor over Upper Marion to approve to 3-1.
Garnet Valley, a 35-7 win over Ridley, and Alney Charter and Germantown Academy will play tomorrow. That's the 1st and 10, a Thursday game. Massbomb beat Edison 52-8. Massbomb picks up their first win of the year. The Catholic League there, Brian.
In Catholic League play, Father Judge bested Frankfurt 49-14. And Bonner Prendergast blanks Archbishop Carroll 48-0 in a final contest. We had Haverford School 21-7 over LaSalle.
Public League Palumbo 22-0 over Dobbins. School of the Future 46-0 over Volks.
We saw that coming.
Yes, you did. Lincoln 47-14 win over Boys Latin. It was Central 29-18. They pull away late against Martin Luther King. And upset of the night, Roxborough beats Overbrook 20-10. Roxborough picks up their first win. Overbrook loses for the first time, and they suffered the Nolan jinx. Let's go to the Suburban One League.
Lots of scores here. We've got Souderton besting Council Rock North 35-14. Penridge blanking Abington 34-0. Council Rock South 14-6 winner over Truman. Plymouth White Marsh blanks Quakertown 49-0. And we have Upper Dublin over Bensalem 33-7. Pick it up, Kev.
Cheltenham, a 7-6 win over Springside Chestnut Hill Academy. That's a final. William Tennant, 30-18 winner over William Tennant. We'll go to Chessmont now. Great Valley, a 14-7 winner over Oxford. Great Valley is now 4-0. Kennett beats Westchester Rustin. Statement game tonight for Kennett. They are now 3-1, 24-14. Unionville, 17-0 over Westchester East. Sun Valley, 28-9 over Westchester Henderson. The Downingtowns continue the roll. 55-0 West over Avengrove. 42-7 East over Shanahan. Coatesville and Penwood tomorrow. Central League, Brian.
Okay, in the Central League, we've got Garnet Valley rolling to the 4-0 with a 35-7 win over Ridley. Strathaven improves to 4-0 with their 41-14 win over Springfield Delco. Pencrest is a 41-13 winner over Harriton. Conestoga edges out Haverford in a very tight game tonight, 15-14 to improve to 3-1. And Marple Newtown is a 32-6 winner over Radnor, and they are perfect on the season.
One DelVal game. It's Academy Park 15-6 over Chichester. Chester and Erboro, they will play tomorrow. In the Pack and the Pioneer Athletic Conference, Bordertown 33-0 over Pottsgrove. Mathacta 21-7 over Upper Perkiomen, and Norristown picks up their second straight win, 21-12. And the BAL, Brian?
We've got Jenkintown as a 6-3 winner over New Hope Solbury. I'd like to know who hit the Grand Slam there. Then we also have Renaissance Academy falls 6-0 to George School. Again, some small scores, but big wins for these two schools.
Kickers are people, too. Tomorrow, Saturday, District 1, Delco Christian at Valley Forge, Phoenixville, Springfield, Pope John Paul II and John Bartram, Upper Darby and Lower Marion, Upper Moreland and Executive Education Academy, Pennington School and Bristol, Ben Franklin and Mastery Charter will play in District 12, O'Hara West Catholic, that's at 1 o'clock, Kensington and Kip the Boys, that's at 1 o'clock, Pope John Paul and Bartram, we talked about earlier, Olney Charter and Germantown Academy, that'll play at 1:30, Brian will be there, Conwell Egan and Archbishop Brian, 4 o'clock at Northeast, GW and Belmont Charter, that's at 7 at the Germantown Supersite, and Blair Academy at Penn Charter at 3 o'clock. That is week 4 in high school football in southeastern Pennsylvania.
You guys just made it sound like we're going to have a fundraiser for kickers.
If you pledge now,
we could buy cleats and get t-shirts.
Yeah, exactly.
What was the phrase?
Punters are people, too.
Punters are people,
too. Hi, Daryl. Don't text us.
Yeah, don't text us. All right. So let's Andrew Robinson from PA Prep Live is going to join us. And as we welcome Andrew to the show, we bum-rushed him to the top of the hour last week. So, Andrew, we're going to go nice and slow with you this week. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me on again after that disaster of a performance last week.
No, you were great. Did you have a good week? Everything was okay? Things went well in life?
Yeah, I guess.
That was resounding, Robinson.
Before we go any further, do you want to give your social media information out or no? I know we had a problem with that last week.
No, yeah, it's fine. My Twitter account's at ADRobinson3. I'm just warning people I post a lot of nonsense on there, so if you only want to follow me on Fridays, that's fine.
There's a lot of people that do that, buddy. Don't worry about it. Hey, so... I'm going to say I'm a little bit shocked tonight. Penridge picks up win number 2 in a row, second shutout in a row. They shut out Abington 34-0. It's a road win for the Rams. And was the game as easy as it sounded like it was for Penridge?
Not really. Honestly, it's weird. You see 34-0, you think it's probably a one-sided game. It was actually a really defensive game. I thought both defenses played very well. Just the matter was, Penridge had 5 takeaways and turned 2 of them into touchdowns, and that goes a long way to winning a game. And it just seemed like every time Abington had a drive going, you know, have Penridge either just stop them outright or they force a turnover. And, you know, they got off to a good start. Abington muffed the first punt of the game. It's a short field. Penridge scores. They get a fourth down stop defensively. Nate Mossbrook breaks a 70-yard touchdown run. They're down two scores. And then Abington's driving again. Batted ball goes right down to Trevor Fuse. He's a sophomore lineman. He runs it back 84 yards for a touchdown. It's 21-0 at the end of the first quarter. So at that point, you know, kind of gave the defense a lot of confidence to be aggressive the rest of the night. And you know, Abington's defense was just on the field a lot, so they kind of got worn down by the end of the game.
Andrew, I think we've known each other about 15 years, it feels like. You've covered the Suburban One League a long time. I don't know if I can figure it out this year. I don't know. I mean, North Penn is 2-2, but an ugly 2-2. Penridge looked awful the first 2 weeks, and now they're 2-2. Abington's getting blown out at home. CB East may be the best team in the conference. Like, figure this out for me.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I haven't seen a whole lot of the league yet this year, but yeah, I mean, Penridge plays East next week, and their defensive players were very, very aware of that. I think they kind of want a shot to see if this defense is for real and what they can do against East. And East obviously playing with a ton of confidence. Anytime they beat one of the sister schools, that's just going to fire them up even more going into the next week. And you feel like North Penn's going to figure it out at some point. There's just so much talent on that roster that you think eventually they're just going to kind of start rolling teams. But yeah, I mean, the bigger school division seems like it's could really be anyone's race at this point. But I mean, the way East is playing right now, you definitely have to give them some props and maybe put them as a favorite till someone proves otherwise.
We're early in the season right now. I mean, it's week four, but we're starting to see, hey,
who's early anymore.
Well,
it's the first league.
We're getting into the league play, and that's the thing that I wanted to get at is that I was excited about this week because we're finally seeing that in league play and who matches up against whom. Did I say that right? Who matches up against whom?
You're asking
okay.
me.
I got two queen. Teachers arguing math here. And language. Okay,
I'm social studies.
Here's my question is. Is who do you think are the real contenders in the Suburban One? I mean, we've always put North Penn in the equation, and I think we still have to, even at 2-2, because we've seen them with their back against the wall, climb back, and have some fantastic seasons. Who are the two or three teams that you see having a chance to really take that crown away from North Penn?
I think East right now, I mean, they've got a great running back. They've got a great quarterback, and their defense has been playing well all season. You know, Penridge has that kind of offense that can stay on the field for a while, like they proved tonight. And then if his defense continues to make strides the way it has the last couple of weeks, I mean, you think, you know, they possibly have a chance to be a factor. And, I mean, you know, like I said, North Penn's probably going to be around because they're North Penn. And I wouldn't count CB South or CB West out yet either. I mean, both those teams have some guys that can really play. And they're well coached. I think, they kind of maybe just need one or two things to start going right for them. Or, you know, South was 3-0 coming into tonight, so how do they bounce back? But, yeah, I mean, right now I would probably say East is that number one contender, but Penridge seems like they could be a dark horse. You know, got over a rough start and seem to be kind of hitting their stride right now.
Yeah, Robin, Andrew, I would agree because Chuck Berge got that late start, much like Dave Armstrong did at Wood. But right. It looks like the past couple weeks, at least defensively. And Andrew, I don't know if you heard the show early on, but Mike Matta, when they took on Penridge, they were worried about the Ram defense. Didn't prove true that week. It's proved true the past 2 weeks. So defense does win games, my friend.
And another thing to note, Penridge got their senior linebacker, Dylan O'Brien, back last week and kind of taking that middle linebacker role and senior captain. So having a guy like that back in the fold definitely kind of adds some stability there and puts everyone back in the right place when you're able to get a key guy like that back.
Hey, Andrew, listen, thanks. We appreciate the contribution tonight. Hope to do it again. And we will talk to you in the next few weeks.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Andrew.
A shutout victory tonight for Penridge on the road against Abington. Guys, we're going to keep it right here. We're going to just kind of cruise through this. We'll delay our break a little bit. Bob Groats joins us from the Delco Times. And this was, by the way, Bob, this was at Kevin Cooney's request that we have you on tonight. He said he's going to be a tremendous guest. No pressure on you.
No, I owe him. Did he tell you why I owe him?
No. Why?
You know what? You better tell him off the air, Kevin. Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
But I'm happy to come on here.
By the way, Bob called when I called him. Bob FaceTimes me when I'm still at school. The kids in my study hall are looking like, who's that guy who just FaceTimed you?
So,
All good, yeah.
All good.
Yeah, well, Kevin's going to have to fill me in on this one. You got to fill us in on Strathaven. I just, you know, each and every year.
They rolled 41 to 14. It was close a couple of times, 14 to 7 and 21 to 14, but Springfield just Springfield played really well for this game because Strathaven is just kind of they're a juggernaut, defending District 1 champions 5A, they look like it. They really tough, and they had a 94-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. That tells you like one of the momentum swings in this game. So Springfield played tough, but they just aren't in the same. Not really the same class as Strathaven.
Bob, you've covered football at a lot of levels over the years. Teams that are like Strathaven. Now, Strathaven wasn't the same as they were in the early 2000s up until last year. But when teams like Strathaven get on a roll, how much do you think it intimidates the other group coming in? In other words, did eventually Springfield kind of just succumb to Strathaven tonight?
Well, yeah, I mean, they wore them down, and you're right. I mean, that's kind of that plays with their head. I mean, you're kind of like you're going against that mystique, and it really is a good one. Coach Kevin Clancy, those guys, they had 11 penalties tonight, and a lot of them, they had like three in a row when they went back to punt, and two were delayed games. So, and he couldn't really understand that, but he'll get on them about that. But yeah, I mean, you look at them. You look over on that sideline, and both teams have six or seven people going both ways. But you look on that other sideline, and the aches that you feel, they hurt a little bit more when it's Strathaven on the other sideline. And I gotta say this too. They had tonight. There were a bunch of stars, but the real star of the game, Sam Milligan. He was the quarterback for Strathaven when the season began. First quarter, first game. Busts his hand. He's got plates and screws in it, and they're 4-0 now. He played two games, and then tonight he played again, but he didn't play quarterback because he can't grip the ball. He's got this great big monster cast on it, you know, padding and everything, safe to play with. He had six carries for like 120 yards, wow. Three touchdowns. He's the fastest guy on the field. That's what Kevin Clancy told me, and he just took off. And so that kind of tells you they also not only do they have that all around football players and both way type of personnel there, but they have some real athletes still.
Hey, Bob, before we let you go here, because I can't wait to hear the story that Kevin's going to tell me about you, but. I'm looking at the rest of the schedule for Strathaven right now. They've got Ridley on the road. Okay. Is there a reason that we should circle that last regular season game on the road against Marple Newtown, with Marple Newtown being unbeaten through four right now?
I haven't seen them yet, but I'm looking at Strathaven. I like them. They got some big boys up front, and they got, they have a lot of power runners and didn't throw the ball at all tonight. They've thrown it three times this year. Yeah, I don't see. I mean, I don't think that Marple would get blown out, but I don't see that Marple can get past them.
Okay. Well, listen, Bob Groats, Delco Times. Listen, I'm looking forward to this story, and if it includes bail money, it will make my night.
Yeah. So. Always a pleasure. All right, I'll see you guys.
Thanks,
be
good. Bob. Yeah.
All right, thanks, Bob.
Bob has been the longtime Eagles writer, we should point out, for the Delco Times, and is co-host the show on another station with Uncle Merrill.
Oh, does he really?
Yes, he does.
Oh, okay. WB. Okay, yeah, sure. All right. Hey, let's take a timeout.
You sound
we come
impressed.
Back. Well, no, I am. I work there.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, let's take a timeout. Phil Almquist is engineering. He is the man with tons of money, but I can't discuss that on the air. But we'll come back. We'll roll scores and get ready. Rapid pack at the top of the hour. It's the High School Football Scoreboard Show here on the Odyssey app and 1210 WPHT.
It's the Friday Night High School Football Scoreboard Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Fun week number four here on this Friday night in 1210 WPHT with the boys in town, Kevin Cooney and Brian Hensel. I'm Jeff Nolan. We got results to our poll question coming up. We got Hensel's highlights coming up. But right now, Kevin and I are going to roll scores. Kevin, I'm going to start the first and 10 at 10.
Go.
CBE, CB South, a 21-7 win for East over South, 4-0 now for East. Manheim Township travels to Springfort, beats the Rams 17-14. Archbishop Wood, Dave Armstrong, first win. They beat Northeast on the road 14-6. 35-28, North Penn at home. Overtime against Neshaminy. Those teams go to 2-2. Imhotep drops a 17-13 decision against Malvern. Roman Catholic beats Perk Valley 26-10 on the road. They remain unbeaten. Pensbury out to prove something this year with Galen Snyder back. They beat CB West 26-21, third win for the Falcons. Upper Marion loses to O&J Roberts. Rob Sr. filled us in on that one. Ridley and Garnet Valley. Garnet Valley improves to 4-0. Our thanks to Eric Van Wick, the head coach that joined us earlier as well. Tomorrow, Alany Charter in Germantown Academy. That's a 2-0. That is a 2-0 Germantown Academy. It's a 2 o'clock start, and it's 11:30 coffee.
PCL game the night. Father Judge beats Frankfurt 49-14. Judge jumped on top and never looked back. Bonner Prendergast 48-0 over Archbishop Carroll. Haverford School, a 21-7 winner over LaSalle. LaSalle's lost three in a row and has been outscored a lot. Public League, Edison falls the Mass Bomb on Thursday, 52-8. It was Palumbo, 22-0 over Dobbins. School of the Future, 46-0 over Vaux's Big Picture. No, I'm not going to jump on that joke. Lincoln, 47-14 winner over Boys Latin. Central beats Martin Luther King, 29-18. And Roxborough beats Overbrook, 20-10.
Kev, I'm going to go to the Thursday score. Mass Bomb beat Edison, 52-8. And you did that score?
I gave that in the public league, yes.
Oh, did you? Okay. I wasn't paying attention. I was, but you confused me because the School of the Future joke is just running through my head so much right now. I do it 1 week. Everybody pauses and goes, oh, what's that? And now you do it 3 weeks in a row. 3 weeks because I won't be here next week. You'll do
right.
it next
yeah,
week.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's look at the SOL. Satterton 35-14 win over Council Rock North. Rebounds nicely after the loss to East. They're now 3-1. Penridge shuts out Abington 34-0. Our thanks to Andrew Robinson for that report. Truman can't find the win column tonight. They lose to Council Rock South 14-6. Plymouth White Marsh shuts out Quakertown 49-0. It's a 33-7 victory for Upper Dublin. They beat Ben Salem on the road. By the way, guys, emotional win scoring two touchdowns in 85 seconds last week and come back in dominant performance tonight again. So just shows you where Upper Dublin is mentally. How about Cheltenham? A point better than Chestnut Hill Academy 7-6 and William Tennant beats Hatboro Horsham for their first win of the year, 30-18. We take a timeout. We'll come back with more scores and a wrap and a pack here on the High School Football Scoreboard Show.
Wake up to Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings 6 to 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Friday night high school football. That's right. Here we go. Let's roll some more scores here on a Friday night. Hey, we go to the Chestmont League. Great Valley beats Oxford 14-7. Kennett beats Westchester Ruston 24-14. Unionville shuts out Westchester East 17-0. Sun Valley 28-9 win over Westchester Henderson. Downingtown West beats Avon Grove 55-0. 42-7 win for Downingtown East over Shanahan. Coatesville Penwood, Kevin, tomorrow.
Garnet Valley is a 35-7 win over Ridley. That makes Garnet Valley 4-0. Strathaven 41-14 win over Springfield Delco. We just heard Bob Groats talk about that. Pencrest picks up their first win 41-13 over Harrodin. Conestoga 15-14 over Haverford. Marple Newtown goes to 4-0, 32-6 win over Radnor.
All right, Kev, I'll check out that Del Valle League, 15-6. It's Academy Park beating Chichester. Tomorrow, Chester and Interboro, Saturday game. Pack games, 33-0 win for Boyertown. Bears beat Pottsgrove, 33-0. Methacton takes care of Upper Perkiomen, 21-7. And Norristown beats Pottstown, 21-12. Kev, that's a look at our scores. So now we need to go to our poll. And we want to figure out our poll and how it ended tonight.
The poll question, if you have been with us all night, which league has...
Or even if you haven't been with us all night.
Even if you haven't.
Because we don't want to leave those people out.
No, because...
Those people are just as important as the other people.
All right, so...
You're grouping people, Kevin.
I am grouping people.
Better than groping people.
With the league seasons underway, which league is the best in Southeast Pennsylvania? The Philadelphia Catholic League Red, with 44% of the vote, has the win. Suburban One National, 25%. Chestmont National, 20, and the Central League is 11.
Okay, so who was the winner?
I told you, the Catholic League, 44%.
Okay. All right. I was just doing that for those people that just joined us. Brian, we've got Hensel's highlights tonight. Who were the highlights of the night?
Well, we've got a few, Kevin and Jeff.
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 It's bad enough I get home. My wife does that, okay?
A little bit of those wings still on my tongue here. Hey, for Bonnie Pendergrass, we want to give a shout-out to Jalen Johnson, sophomore, scored a 62-yard TD reception. Great way to start off your sophomore year in their win over Archbishop Carroll tonight, 48-0. I want to give a shout-out to Jake Marquis from Father Judge. He rushed for three TDs tonight in Father Judge's 49-14 victory over Frankfort High School. As we heard earlier tonight, Strathaven had a 94-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. And like most special teams coaches, it's not one guy. They always give credit to all 11. So we're going to give credit to the entire kickoff return team
at Strathaven. So you didn't write down his, name?
No, we didn't.
I didn't either, but go ahead.
And out of Midland, Texas, congratulations to Rance Purser of Greenwood High School. This Ranger hit a 61, let me say that again, a 61-yard field goal for his team.
And so, joining us all the way from Midland, Texas right now.
On the Odyssey app, yeah.
Hey, did we miss a big play or a strong performance that you guys witnessed tonight? Hit me up on Twitter at bhensel56.
Yeah, we're going to do this each and every week, kind of highlight the highlights of the week. So
we got to get like background music, wacky background music for Hensel's highlights.
Yeah, I would like that. Okay, so guys, takeaways from tonight, surprises. I think I'm going to tell you CB East at 4-0, and we've covered this team a long time. Pennridge next week. They can be the cream of the crop this year in Suburban One. I really believe that is a possibility. Because they beat South, and I mean, sure, they've got West on the docket too, but
yeah, and I don't see that as a surprise tonight, because I saw them as a strong team, but I would agree with you that they haven't been in the mix of the team that's looking to steal the league. So I agree with you 100% there.
All right.
Biggest disappointment.
Okay, I'm going to be the party pooper. Until you beat North Penn, I'm not going to believe.
And that is the gold standard. That's for
the ultimate. Sure.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Until they beat North Penn, I'm going to hold my applause. Look, great start. Going to be a playoff team. Just not there yet.
Can anybody stop Garnet Valley or Strathaven?
I think Strathaven's more likely to get stopped right now. Out of that area. I mean, although then again,
they're playing great defense too, though.
Yeah, I mean, Coatesville's kind of the one team we haven't really talked about who's
Isn't
really
funny?
Good.
Yeah, and here we are in week four.
Well, it's a Saturday game too.
Yeah,
yeah, they play a ton of Saturday games. It
right.
feels like
we're in week four, and we haven't had a lot of conversation about the Red Raiders, but they should be on our topic of conversation because they are a high quality team. It's going to be talked about.
One of my takeaways from today: bad day for the pub. I thought Northeast was one of those teams that everybody felt could make a push, and they got beat by a Wood team that I don't think everybody thinks is as good as they've been in the past. Imhotep played well against Malvern, but it's not a good day for the pub in the hierarchy.
Well, and on a positive side for the pub, we had an unvictorious Roxborough team going in 0-3. Playing an undefeated Overbrook team comes away with a 20-10 win.
And I've been suspended for next week, yeah, so I will not be here. The boys will run the show next week. I will serve that suspension on an island on a beach, so don't worry about me. Biggest disappointment, LaSalle?
Yeah, I think at this point you almost have to say that. And could they still be dangerous? Yeah, but boy, it's looking that offense is not right there right now.
Yeah, listen, they got a young quarterback and a brand new offensive coordinator, and that's a tough combination to start putting points together. So it might be good for them down the road. They're not shying away from any tough opponents, but yeah, I guess everyone, you know, they're always the topic of discussion. It's a situation where it's going to be a building year for them.
Yeah, so we're going to pick this up again next week. We'll have a brand new poll question. Encourage people to visit us at WPHT Scores. That's where you can get that. Don't forget Hensel's highlights at bhensel56. Hit Brian up with what you thought. Somebody had a great performance next week. I'm Jeff Nolan with Kevin Cooney and Brian Hensel. Thanks to Phil Almquist. It's the High School Football Scoreboard Show on the Odyssey app and 1210 WPHT. See you next week at 10.